Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Scaling Wellness Podcast. It's really great to be here. Today, we have a very special guest. This is my client, Julie, otherwise known as Health and Fitness with Julie.
And she's one of the members inside the Accelerator. And in fact, we've worked together sort of on and off for a little while. So I'm going to introduce Julie, or I'm going to let Julie introduce herself. So why don't you say hi, tell us who you are, tell us what you do and a little bit about your business.
Okay, so I'm Julie. I am from up in Lancashire, and I help women who are tired of dieting to finally lose weight, to lose fat, without obsessing over food. And that is through the MIND method, that's the program. That's my group program. And I teach women to build simple habits that make eating normal feel easy. And so that they can enjoy holidays, meals out, enjoy everyday life without guilt, with a constant starting again on Monday feeling. And I work with over 50 women. And it's actually getting a little bit later. I'm 61 myself, and I'm starting to push a little bit up there. So, yeah, probably 55 to 65 sort of age group. And that's through an online MIND method, which I've currently got a group running at the moment.
Amazing. Amazing. So tell us your kind of background. Like, how did you get into fitness, into PTing? Like, what's your kind of story in terms of coming into this world? The wellness world.
Right. So I've been an estate agent probably for 20, 25 years. Started actually as a model way back in the 80s. Transitioned through that, went into estate agency, had our own, then I've worked for somebody else. And then about 10 years ago, about 2015, I think it was, the company I was working for was selling out, and they gave me some money, and I used it to train as a personal trainer, and I was literally just doing it for myself. But once I'd got into doing the training, people kept saying, oh, let me know when you're finished and I would like to sign up with you. Anyway, it turned out my husband was moving from our home office. It's a really good space, a studio at the back of the house. And I thought, I could set up. So I set up as a personal trainer. And I've been doing that really for the last 10 years. And again, that is generally been women 50 plus, people around my age and are sort of moving up with me. And then about 2 years ago, I exercise has always helped me a lot. And so when I thought it would really help other women, once I'd started doing exercise isn't the cure-all. Do you know, like do more cardio, do more lifting, whatever. And I actually started doing a psychotherapy access to go and do an MA, in fact, because I felt that we all needed more.
Yeah.
Anyway. Be slightly different grade. Thought, no, this is how to crack it up here. And I started training as a health coach. So it was health, because I know most of this is psychological. It is really not about the exercise. It's not about the food. It's about what we feel about ourselves. And so I just morphed, really. So I did a health coaching. I started working with the NHS about 2 years ago. As a health coach, obviously I've done my own, so I work privately. And so probably over the last 18 months, this is when I started trying to do online.
Okay.
I started with people that I knew, as you know.
Yeah.
And it's brought me to here.
Amazing. I love that. There's so much about that that I want to dig into. I absolutely love the moment where you said it's a hammer cracking up. Like, that is just, it's so brilliant. But you're right. I love that there is this kind of unity in what you do between, not, it's not just the physical stuff, it's the emotional, it's the psychology around it. And I absolutely love that. So we're going to get into way more about that. But first of all, it would be remiss of me not to go back to your modeling years, because I've seen this recently on your social media, and I've meant to say it to you in the times that we've chatted since, that, oh my God, you were a model in the 80s. Your pictures are insane, first of all. But also, just before this has come up, and I know this is a bit of a sideline, but I think it'd be interesting for people, talk to us about what it was like having that kind of job in the 80s and how that has impacted your kind of view of your body, of your self-image. Has it been a negative, a positive outcome? Let's just go into that just briefly.
It's probably only in the last 10 years I've sort of really started to explore this all more. And I sort of started 16, 17 I was, and it was just all absorbed in the 80s. Do you know, people dieting and being thin and eating less and probably being quieter as women. Anyway, so when I started, it was all very much, don't eat. It was just unhealthy. It was a really unhealthy vibe that went through, and just don't put weight on. Yeah. However, you have to keep that off. You keep that off. And how you wouldn't work, etc. And I have to say, it was probably before like the heroin chic. So I was a natural, probably size 10. And I didn't overly have to work at it. But then I actually went to live in Japan for 6 months. And a lot of girls in the 80s, it was quite a thing. Modelling, this is. And that was, because we were all away from home, we did all naturally start to eat more. You were sort of courted out there. They wanted you in the clubs, so they were giving you free drinks and food. Everybody, to a man, gained weight. And that was, it was sort of a problem, really, because you used to get an allowance from the agency, and they started to weigh you before they gave it you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you did hungry magic. And if you put weight, you just didn't get it.
Oh, my God.
So we had running. We were going in the gym. We were sweating it out in the sauna, etc. So,
wow.
Gained about half a stone at that point. So I wasn't gaining as far as there was, because I think I had reached. Anyway, so I was okay on that, but I did keep doing the exercise. We were all neurotic. And I did briefly, at the time, I thought it was clever. I started making myself sick. I thought it was really intelligent way to maintain my weight.
Wow.
I have to say, when I came back, I'd stopped doing it, but I certainly didn't see it. Probably until a few years ago that was, believe me, really.
Wow.
So it did have a really negative effect, but I didn't, I sort of didn't feel I had the emotional baggage with that. It literally was a physical thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of the culture, shall we say.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow. That's madness, isn't it? And like, I get what you mean about this kind of, you know, intellectually you were thinking, I'll make myself sick and that will get me my allowance. It's wild that they used to pay you for maintaining a weight. Anyway, I digress, but I just thought it would be fascinating to have a little think about how, you know.
So it has had quite an impact. And I think it's brought me to this because I am now helping women, and a lot of the message that I am talking about is the sort of our parents, our mothers in the 70s and 80s were all about slimming world diets, these slimming products. And once I started doing that, I got such engagement.
Yes, did you?
So,
yeah. I can see that actually, because I think I remember a lot of that as well. And even things like the Green Goddess and the, you know, the TV, always the TV, Mr. Motivator was one, wasn't he? But then there was the female, I can't remember, Jane Fonda and all of that. It was all about like cardio, aerobics, lycra. It was a big
move, sweat.
Oh, wow. It's fascinating to look back. But I guess when you were talking about your transition into what you're doing now and training to be a PT, and you said that you were kind of doing it for yourself. So what made you go from estate agent to personal trainer? Like
I've always exercised, to be fair. I've always exercised at some level. It used to be aerobics back in the 80s. Once I'd had my children, so I've got two boys, they were now 30 and 28. And when I had those, I started running because that was an easy thing to do out the door back again. So I've been running for over 30 years now. And I do that for pleasure, for mental health, to chill, basically. That was just get out of the house. And I started lifting weights, but particularly probably at age 50 when the menopause hit.
Okay.
And I went to a personal trainer myself.
Amazing.
And that's when I started.
Yeah, and that gave you that interest in weights. So talk to me then about what you do now with your clients. So when I know you've developed the mind method, and that's something we've been working on in the accelerator together. But tell us what the mind method is and how you help your clients.
Right. So it's about moving simple habits. So it's moving intention, implement simple habits, notice emotional patterns, and ditch diet cultures. So I'm massively against dieting, because I know it doesn't work for anybody. It works at the time, but it doesn't work long term. So it was how I started off calling it healthy habits, and that sort of just never sold. So it was about slowly making these changes, because that's what I've done. And I've probably made the most changes in the last 10 years. So much as I've always been fit and, you know, reasonably slim. I didn't have a great relationship with food. I realise other women don't. And I know that once they diet, they just keep dieting. And I just see women who are yo-yo dieting, and they're messing their bodies up at this stage. I see a lot of younger girls actually through the NHS, and I'm passionate about them not going on this roller coaster, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And it is a roller coaster, isn't it? This idea that you're going to be constantly dictated by your weight and your size and dieting and not dieting and on and off. And I love that you talk a lot on your social media, I've noticed, about the idea of healthy habits and about how this is more of a mind method than it is a physical method. And so when you decided you wanted to move into the online space, talk to me about how you came up with that kind of niche. Was it based on, I mean, I guess I'm assuming a big part of it is based on your experiences of the, you know, the industry and food and healthy habits and all of that stuff. But how did you decide on creating this niche, this mind method?
It was about ditching diets. It was about helping people to, I mean, it's evolved as you can, as most of our online things have. And it was about showing women that it wasn't about food. It's not about eating, really. It's about what you think about eating and what you're thinking about yourself. I had a Facebook group to start off with, and that's how I then first did it, like started doing some Zoom sessions, and it's sort of grown from that. But the method is, it's so simple, really. And feels fraudulent. It's so simple. Obviously not easy. Who else would all be doing it?
Yeah.
But it literally is the quickest way. If you're looking for a quick fix, this is it. It's about creating those small habits over time that you can consistently maintain, keep up, and feel good about. Stop looking at the scale. Stop going off how you feel, how your clothes feel, and your energy, your mood. It's just all those things. So just by looking at the scale, it doesn't measure progress. It doesn't measure your mood. It doesn't measure how you feel about yourself, your confidence. It does none of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true, isn't it? And I think one thing that I wanted to touch on with you was that when we first met, I know you were almost kind of apologetic about not wanting to be in the weight loss space. Like there was a definite discomfort around that. Can you talk about that? Because I guess ultimately your people come to you for that outcome, do they? Is that kind of how it
initially
works?
Initially, and that's why I just wanted to veer away from it, because I've studied a lot about, you know, health at every size, intuitive eating, all the different ways of non-diet approaches. But yeah, ultimately people were saying to me at the end, yes, but I just want to lose weight. You know, I'm changing my habits. I do feel better, but I just want to be thinner. It was hard to approach that, really. So I know if people follow what I am saying, they will naturally come into a calorie deficit.
Mm.
And that is really how it works. Yeah. So it's almost by stealth. And obviously, but initially, you have to retrain your habit. You cannot just go into losing weight, because you then just start looking at the scales again. So you just start by looking at these little habits, by eating well, eating better. You know, there's a bit of a clash between losing fat and health.
Mm.
You know, just eating less and being healthy. Yeah. So it's just navigating those little things so that people are doing it. Cause, I mean, women at the minute, it's just, you know, when you get results.
Yeah.
People just go, oh my God, the penny's dropped. I can just see what's going on. And it, yeah, whereas they have sort of come for weight loss, and generally they're feeling better in their clothes, but they are really just changing these habits around food, around eating in work, about going out to eat, and that their life is just calm. So ultimately, I am selling calmness around food and choices.
Yeah, yeah. But God.
It's like a sort of, I mean, you come across it. Obviously, you're in a younger demographic, but you're with mums, and you can see it happening.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, because it's still happening for women. Mm. Only if they can just get a grip at an earlier age to not go into the diet mode, it will just be such an easier, calmer time and stop, you know, women hating on themselves, basically. And they've almost, through society, have been programmed to be smaller.
Yeah.
Less space.
Yeah.
That's where I sort of, I know that's what women want, but then they soon realise that it is the calmness, because it just brings that peace into their life. They still want to fit into their clothes. So once they can start approaching things better, then they can look at maybe the types of foods that they're eating. But by just looking at those, you just end up low fat, low calorie, low energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're just back into that cycle. So how have you found the kind of messaging part of this? Like, because obviously there's that element of, you know, giving people what they want, which is, you know, when someone first comes to work with you, their goal is potentially weight loss or fat loss or getting smaller or fitting into their clothes. And so how do you balance that with the kind of the process around changing the habits and you know, not having the weight loss as the primary goal? Or do you still market that? Like, what, how does it work for you from a kind of messaging perspective?
I think I did a short live last week, because 1 minute I'm posting about losing fat, and then the next I'm like anti-diet, and I felt that it was hypocritical, but I know it isn't. You can still want to look good. You can still want to feel good in your clothes whilst being strong, being well, having a good energy. Mm-hmm. It's just about navigating those habits. So yes, I do. I market more on social media, because it is the scroll stop, really. So it is about sort of fat loss over 50, and it just engages people. But the women I'm having conversations with, which they're more than ever. Because I'm putting things out, and I know the things that you've talked about in the program, asking. Well, I mean, a lot of this ask some questions in my email, and people reply because they feel quite passionately about what makes them snack after eight, what makes them not eat breakfast, and these things. So they will tell me, and ultimately, it is about them feeling calm around food, not feeling overwhelmed all the time, and this navigating in the mind. And I know what it's like, and I still do it. So I've never had a big weight issue, but I still have probably had a food issue, thinking about what to eat. I do get food nappies.
Yeah, same.
That's thinking about all these things. Should I, shouldn't I, did I, didn't I? And just going through. So it's about taking that away, and certain foods will make that easier.
Yeah, oh, I really love that. And I love what you're doing, because I think I really resonate with this. And I know you just said that you do as well. But I really resonate with this, you know, born in the 1980, raised in the 80s and 90s, you know, heroin chic absolutely was a thing. The circle of doom, you know, on the front page of the magazines where they pull out people's cellulite, or, you know, I look back at these things now and think, you know, there would be people in the 90s that were put on the front page of magazines as being fat or overweight. And I look at them now and I'm like, oh my God, Tigers, Tim, it's outrageous. Absolutely. When you really... So you can't blame, like, there's a whole generation of us. And I think the one thing I do like about the younger generation these days is I do feel like there is more diversity in body shapes, which, and they're seeing more diversity.
A bit more acceptance.
A little bit, yeah. It's going a little bit. I mean, I think it goes backwards and forwards, doesn't it? But I think it's going hopefully in a better direction. So tell me, because I love what you do on social media. I think you've done a really, really good job of nailing your ideal client. And this is where, when I work with people, I'm always talking, as you know, about the ideal client and getting really clear on what problem you're solving. And when you are the ideal client, you know, when you've experienced it and you've come through the process, it makes for such a compelling message, because you can really get into the weeds of what you felt and experienced and your story and all the rest of it. But tell me now then about what results are you getting with women? What are you finding that they're experiencing on the other side of your program?
That they are able to go through the day without food being a great big issue, without having to make big decisions. They will start the day better. They used to skip breakfast. They potentially skip lunch. They weren't hungry. So then they'd find that they were getting home and eating everything, making tea, eating, having snacks, etc. And now they plan ahead. They sort of think it through. You know, it takes a bit of thinking at the beginning, but once you are in the swing of it, it's there. And once they know. And so they're just feeling happier, lighter of spirit, if you will, lighter, better in their clothes. One of my ladies has just sort of had a 3-week road trip holiday. She lives right up in the Hebrides. And she normally just lives on snacks. And she hasn't. She's just planned a little bit ahead. And just making better decisions without it being overwhelming. Still knowing it can go out, just maybe having one cocktail, not three cocktails, or exactly the same, but just thinking about it. Right. And yes, so generally, as I said, more energy is a big one. They're saying that more energy, they're feeling better in the clothes, and they're not constantly thinking quite the same about food.
I love
feeling
that.
Guilty.
Yeah.
Guilt and shame is massive with women.
Yeah. I can resonate with all of that. And I really, really love what you're doing. I think it's a great product. It's a great demographic. I love that you've kind of pitched it at that age group as well, because I think it's really tempting to just kind of open this up to everybody. But actually, by going for the age group, it really brings it into being a group that is going to resonate with you and remember the thing you remember.
You accelerate making kind of all what I was doing about bring it right in. So I'm really speaking to those women. I'm not really speaking to up 40 plus. In fact, I started off, didn't I, calling it midlife. And then I realised one of the other ladies in the accelerator was calling it midlife when she was in her mid-30s. And someone made a comment on my social media and said, you're not in your midlife, love. You've been the winter of your life. Well,
why not? It's fascinating. I love that. That's hilarious. I remember that conversation. That was in our first, when we did our sort of first away day, wasn't it? You were talking about it. And I've had this conversation with other clients as well. There was another lady in the accelerator called Gillian, and she was doing the same kind of program, and she was working with people with who just kind of needed to keep up their strength, but she was pitching it at 40 plus. And I was like, you know what? If you pitch this at like 70 plus, and she was really reluctant, but the kind of closer she got in on that demographic and the more she honed it, the easier it sold and the easier she could speak to it as well.
It's so true. It honestly, it's so true. Because you think you're eliminating people. And I get an odd one that's possibly in the 40s, but on the whole, it goes to the...
I love that. And I think the thing is, Julie, is that, you know, if you get someone in that's 40, you can still help them. Like, it's never going to be... And I find with the accelerator, I obviously work with wellness experts, but every now and then someone comes to me who's a little bit left field, and I don't invite them into the accelerator because they're not the right fit. But I would never be opposed to working with someone that was outside of that demographic as well, because you can help anybody. And this is the issue that wellness experts have, is that we are so good at helping everybody that we really find it hard to kind of isolate who we want to work with. Yeah. But it works really well when you prove, doesn't it, for your messaging and everything. Like, everything just gets easier.
It does make it all absolutely easy.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, amazing. So let's talk then a little bit about your time in the accelerator. So would you like to talk to me about what has been the most kind of impactful part of the program for you so far?
Always good to be in a group. It took me a bit to get into the swing in some ways because I joined before Christmas and it just feels sometimes. Anyway, it was more... Yeah, so it's nice to be a part of a group. It's nice to see what others are doing. It's great because it's all sort of shared in a way. So I sometimes will look at other people's feedback and it helps. And listening, do you know, when we do the Q&As, or you're answering somebody else's question, and pretty much you're answering some of mine at the same time.
Wow.
It was the call we had right at the beginning, which sort of pinned things down. And I did mean to look up my 90-day goals and I forgot.
I know.
Right at the beginning. So now you just got my first 90 days. And that's what I sort of need. And I do need accountability. And I find this just like the women that I do when it comes to their diets. It's real small steps, accountability and support, getting a little bit of feedback. I've got a lot of feedback, to be fair. I have to hold back on the amount of questions I ask you.
No, never hold back. Never hold back.
I don't really. But so it's just good to get in real time help as I can, as things come up for me. And, you know, sometimes someone else will jump in, but more often than not, you're there to answer the question. So it's that, and it was the plan from the beginning, and it's obviously the call that coming down and seeing everybody live, to be fair, was amazing. Talking through everybody's goals, we're all somewhere on the same path, and it helps everyone.
The old days are great.
Yeah, but if you're sure working alone, that you're the... No, this is probably just me. That you're sort of, and I won't say behind, but... Everybody else is just romping on. And it's nice to hear that, you know, they get little blockages in places.
Yeah.
And how they're working on it, what's helping them to move forward. And I love that.
Yeah.
It helps me.
Amazing. Oh, it's been so lovely having you as part of the group. If you were to kind of pin it down, what would you say to someone that is wanting to create a digital program from their kind of wellness expertise? What do you see is the kind of biggest mistake or sticking point or stumbling block that you think you've encountered or you're seeing other people make?
I think it's just not doing it.
Yeah.
Trying for it to be perfect. Waiting, thinking you need to be good at everything. I have learned so much along the way, and I have to remind myself and look back at times, even when it comes to things like Instagram. You know, I still think I'm not fantastic when it comes to things like edits, but I am way further forward than I was in everything that I do, and it has evolved. But so not being perfect, do it anyway, which I did. Do it frightened. Do it even though you just think, oh, what's everybody going to think? I don't care. I care what my client think, but I don't, you know, beyond that, then, yeah. And it, I think it's coming into the accelerator has really clarified that. So I've made all these mistakes. I've stumbled my way along. I've had a little bit of help with various things, a bit of tech and some messaging, my emails. But this is the first group mentorship. And it took me a while. You know, I say I came on an away day and I looked and I thought, do I? Because the biggest thing is, will I do the work? So it's not that you work and somebody wasn't going to deliver it. Was I going to do the work? I need to make sure I get the most out of what I invest in, basically. So it's clarified and I've really now, I am almost ready to run.
Yeah, that's amazing. Oh, that's so amazing. I think it's that that first bit can feel a little bit, and I talk about it all the time in the group, don't I? That it's that first bit is the uphill grind, and you've just got to kind of get on with it. And then there does become that bit of a downwards, like momentum starts to kick in a little bit. And
yes, a total momentum.
Yeah.
Yes. Repeat. Yeah. Everything now, you know, I've done it all once on email. I've done it all sort of on Instagram. So it just gets easier and your message gets easier. So, yeah, just do
it.
Oh, Nike said.
Yeah, they were clever with that brand, weren't they? They knew what they were doing.
Really clever.
Oh, Julie, well, you know what? It's been amazing having you in the programme. I've loved working with you. And like you said about the away days are so special, aren't they? They're such a good day. And in fact, someone joined over the weekend for the Accelerator. So she starts at the beginning of April. And she was worried about the away day because she said, you know, I just don't know if I'll get there. And, you know, I think she's from up sort of Lake District way. And I said, well, you know, people are travelling from all over. And you know what? If that's a night in a hotel, that sounds like quite a nice meal to me. Like, let's make that work, because the away days are, they're non-essential. Like, they're not, they are a bonus element of the programme, but they are really magic, aren't they? They're really great way of kind of shifting things forwards. And I love doing them, genuinely love doing them.
So, humanises everyone.
Yeah, it really does. It's just nice to see people in real life, isn't it? And have a cuddle and have a proper chat. But, listen, thank you so much for being part of the group. I've loved watching you progress, and I'm, you know, going to continue to do so. I think your social media is brilliant. If anyone hasn't checked out Julie's social media, she is a real masterclass on how to use your ideal client and get your messaging right and just get it out there, because the stuff you put out is just so relatable. It's so on the money, and it's got nothing to do with the, you know, the stuff and what you're selling and how many coaching sessions there are. And it's just to do with what your women are experiencing and what their stories are and what they will resonate with. And you really get into their brains really beautifully. So I would encourage anyone to go and check out Julie's Instagram. And if you have any questions for Julie, obviously reach out. I'll put her details in the show notes. If you want to be part of her mind method, I'll put that below as well. But thank you so much for being here. Thanks for sharing your story. And I will catch up with you soon. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them, or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the
problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.